It's in Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. And let's have a word of prayer. Father, I pray, God, bless your word. God, as we look at it tonight, Lord, I pray, Father, bless our brothers and sisters at home that are watching by Streamline. Lord, I pray, God, bless them. And Lord, I pray, God, have mercy on our country. I pray for our president. I pray for our Congress, our senators, Lord. I pray, God, for just people that, Lord, God, just don't know any better. Like some people that's out there in the world. My family, we were religious but lost. We drank, smoked, dope, and everything else, God. And no hope, no God. And Lord, it took something tragic to get our attention. And I know, God, you're not going to let any opportunity be wasted. And I pray, God, that you would, Father, for our country, God, for our local area, God, and churches all across this land, that, God, they would, men and women would stand up and not be ashamed to witness for you. I pray when the schools open back up, I pray, God, people have questions. And I know this is scaring a lot of people, and I pray, God, the fear of God would be in their hearts and lives. Put the fear of God in us. Give us a tender heart toward you and love you. And we'll thank you, God. Bless your word now in Jesus' name. Amen. Galatians chapter 6, it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And, you know, before you can restore anybody, you better be, like it says, you ought to have some spirituality yourself. You ought to be reading in your Bible. You ought to be praying. You ought to have some kind of spirituality. You're not going to get spirituality by watching TV. You're not going to get spirituality by listening to any kind of music, other music than what the gospel music. And, I mean, some of the gospel music is called gospel music, but I wouldn't call it gospel music. It's other thing. That fellow that got up here sang last Sunday night. Changed your life, yeah. I didn't understand anything he was singing. And all he was doing was singing background. I watched Brother Dan call me tonight and ask me if we was having church. I said, yeah. And he said, well, he's going to try to come down. I said, you going to bring your singer and the deacon, you know. But Dan told me he had more people today in church than he's ever had. And he said a lot of people were missing, his regulars. But, you know, it tickled me, that guy, because I was watching some of the faces. It tickled me. I don't know why. I get tickled over stuff like that. But like that felt. Remember, how many of y'all remember the guy got up here and said he had a poem to read and he started rapping? Y'all remember that? Yeah. He started rapping. It was funny. I yelled at him. I went, "Hey!" And he did that, you know. And I said, "We don't do that here." And, you know, he straightened up. What was that boy's name? Obed. Obed. Yeah, Obed. I miss that boy. it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest thou also be tempted. Don't get too high when you think you're something when you ain't. The next couple of verses tells you that. Doc used to say this. He'd say, stay low. So you don't, and when you fall, it won't be so hard. He's talking about staying low before the Lord. And just stay low. Humble yourself. And we're talking about pride this morning. It says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And you know our brothers and sisters that's going through some stuff. I mean, this church is going through a lot. And brother, you've heard brothers and sisters talk about it. We've been through a lot as a church with our loved ones, our family members that's passed away. And we've wept with those that wept. I mean, we've wept together, and it was just hard on us. It was hard on our church. When Brother John passed away, it was hard. When George passed away, it was hard. When others, Brother Pop Coleman, and when Chelsea passed away, it was hard. I mean, I think I went through mourning for 2 years over Chelsea. She's only 13 years old. We've been through a lot. And Keith passing away, and you know, we couldn't even have church inside. I couldn't even go inside the church knowing Keith laying out there on the ground, died right there in the parking lot. And so It says, bear ye one another's burdens. And we're like a family. Whenever somebody goes through something and we hear about it, may we all get weeping together, get weeping over it. Bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, there's a verse, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. And we used to sing a song at camp, you're nothing, you're nothing, you're nothing but a nothing. And I know that's not the world says. The world says you're something. I mean, we're something in Jesus Christ. We're nothing by ourselves. And it says, if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. And a lot of people think they're something, and that they get deceived. And it says, but let every man prove his own work, then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. There's all kinds of things that we could be doing. There's more work to be done. And it says, let every man prove his own work. If God gives you a work to do, you ought to be doing it. And we've got plenty of work around here to do. Trying to win people to lead Jesus Christ and trying to go out with the buses and the ministries and different things that's going on. It says, let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. And it says bear one another's burdens, but every man's going to bear his own. And there's nothing like, you can have comfort, and the Bible talks about comforting one another and talks about the Lord gives us comfort. And we're supposed to comfort those that are in any trouble with the same comfort that God gives us, and we're supposed to comfort them. And we've experienced that through the 30-some years being here. We've experienced that. Every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. And the communication, you know what that is given. Let him that is taught in the word communicate. When I was going to Bible school, I paid to go to Bible school, but it wasn't what I should have paid. Me and a couple of us guys in here, we got to go to the best Bible school in the world, man. Amen. The best teacher in the world. Amen. And taught us the word of God. And we communicated back to him. But he wasn't out. It wasn't out for the money. It wasn't for the money. Amen. I remember one time I went by his house. Linda and I got a little bit of money on the side where she had an accident. And they paid our doctor bills. And I think we got a little bit of money they sent us. We never sued them or anything like that. But they paid her doctor bills. We was in Greenville, South Carolina. And I'm sitting in the driveway on White Horse Road. I'm sitting in the car. And I see a cop and an ambulance and everything coming down the road. And I'm looking down there, and I'm at my house there on White Horse Road. And I kept saying, where's my wife at? Where's she at? And then I went down there and realized some guy ran a red light and hit her. And she was pregnant with Ruth. And it destroyed the car, and she went to the hospital, and all kinds of stuff happened. And we didn't get anything from it for years. And then when we was in Bible school, we got a check, and it came in. So we said, we got to tithe it. We're going to tithe it. So I went over to Dr. Upman's house, and we had $200 that I gave to him. I said, would you do me a favor? There was a guy named Brother David Bard. And he's up in Pennsylvania. Brother Mark just had a revival there with him. And David Bard was on a construction job doing some work. He worked for the Mennonites, and they were building houses. And he was on a truss, and the truss broke. And he went down, and I think he went two floors. And the truss snapped, and one of the trusses went right up between his legs. And he landed on it. And they sent him to the hospital and everything. And I went by Doc's house, and I said, I want you to give this to Brother Bard. And I'll never forget. And Brother Bard, they said, you never have no more kids. He had two children at that time. Is that right? He had two. He ended up having 11. So 11 kids. So that didn't work. So he had 11 kids. And I remember going by to Dr. Upman. I said, will you give this to Brother Bard? And Linda, we lived in a shack. We really did. We lived in a. We paid $100 a month. We could barely pay that. And I remember when I gave it to him, he started crying. He said, "Man, you ain't got nothing." He said, "You ain't got nothing. You can't give this away." I said, "We want to give it to our brother. Amen. Help our brother." And you know, that's the way it is. God's people. Amen. That's the way it is. With God's people, we try to help one another. But we was communicating and you know, paying our bills and trying to, and there's times we couldn't pay our bills. And I'll never forget, I get the secretary walk by me and say, "Hey, Brother Ryman, here's a receipt for your school bill." And I said, "I didn't put no money on it." They said, "Somebody paid it." But God took care of that thing. And it says, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches all in all good things." I've said this 100 times. I said, before I was, when I first got saved, I was a taker, 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 taker. And when I started growing up in the Lord, I learned to be able to give. And when you grow up in the Lord, you learn to give back, and you start giving back. And it's God gives to you, you give it back to something. You're doing this constantly. You're moving. The money, the things are moving around. And God, and it seems like with God, you can never give enough. I mean, because it keeps coming back to you heavy. And I had a friend of mine used to say, "Well, I'll give the Lord $10. He'll give me $100. No, that ain't the way it works. That ain't the way it works. You just be faithful, and God watches, and He'll take care of you. He'll watch over your children. He watches over your health. He watches over so much other things for you, and takes care of you. Gives you handfuls on purpose, man. Just like Ruth said, she said, "I got handfuls on purpose." Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. And you all pay me a salary. You give me a salary every week. I get a salary, and you're communicating to me, and you're paying my bills. That's what you guys do. Every pastor that's full time, you pay their bills. You communicate in that way. It's a financial reward of being teaching the Word of God. And you're not doing it for that reason. You're not doing it for that reason at all. If you're doing it for that reason, just to get a paycheck, you're just a hireling. That's all you are. You're just a hireling. And when I first came here pastoring church, I've worked a job for years and years and years. My kids can tell you that. I've worked and then did roofing, whatever I had to do. But it says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." And that not only is that bad stuff, it's good stuff. And we've been able to been reaping good things. When you live for God and you're doing what's right, you'll start reaping good things. The ships start coming in. And you start going, "Wow, I didn't know that was on that ship. That's good. That's some good stuff." And you know, before I was saved, I reaped a lot of bad things. I sowed a lot of bad things. And then I reaped some bad things. But then as I got saved and started growing in the Lord, started getting closer to God, I started sowing good things. And I didn't steal no more. Amen. I didn't lie. No, didn't want to lie. Didn't want to mess around. Amen. Didn't want to do things that I used to do. And God started blessing me, and I started reaping good things. My wife and I both, not only me, but my wife and I, together, we reap together. And the Lord's blessed us together because we want to put God first. And it says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked." And people that make a mockery of God and they're sowing bad things, and they think their ship's never going to come in, they will come in. "And whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth through the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth through the Spirit shall of the Spirit," notice that capital, "Spirit, reap life everlasting." Sowing good things come to pass when a person sows good things. It'll come to you. It comes back. I've said this to people. I said, "I've never sold a car. I always give them away." And you know what happens? People give me more cars. They give me more. And I just give it away. And I've seen the Lord just bring it back to me. Bring it, keep giving it back to me. "For he that soweth through the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth through the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing." And, sometimes Sundays, you know, you have Sunday all day church. I mean, you have Sunday morning, Sunday night, and you start getting, you say, "Oh, man, I've been working all week. I'm tired." And what happens is a lot of people just start laying out, and they start just doing what they want to do. And they quit coming to church, but they think they're the only ones tired. They think they're the only ones going through it. But it says, "Be not weary in well doing," and you doing well is you're not going to be weary in it. And it says, "Be not weary in well doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not." And I've said this morning, I've seen a lot of people turn their back on God. I've seen a lot of people faint, turn away from the Lord, and they're not going to reap those things that they're looking for. In life, they're not going to reap those good things. They'll reap some bad things. And it's a sowing thing. Keeping your mind, I'm sowing. When you're putting out the word of God, putting out tracts and witnessing to people, and you're sowing good things, and just keep on doing it. Don't be faint. Don't be discouraged by it. But I wanted to get over here in verse 10. And it says, as we have therefore opportunity, you have opportunity, let us do good on all men. Let us do good on all men. It says, as you have opportunity, let us do good. I looked at that do-gooders. People, you know, always say, oh, you're a do-gooder. I used to hate that thing. I used to hate somebody say, oh, you're a do-gooder. I used to despise people say that. You know, there are a lot of do-gooders out there, but they're doing it for a reason, thinking that it's wrong. They're trying to get to heaven by being good. Yeah. But a do-gooder. But the Bible says Christians ought to do good. You ought to do good. It says this, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. I mean, man, I want to be a do-gooder. I want to do good, and I want to be a good do-gooder. And I want to do whoever I can help and whatever I can do, as long as, you know, people just not using you all the time. You got some people, we've had people come to church, and they'll only come so they can get something from church. And I realize that. And we've given out money to people and paid their bills and all that stuff. And then they disappear and we don't see them again. And that's sad that people just do that. But people, they do that. But doing good is nothing wrong with that. And you say, how do you do good? How do you do that? It says, I'll do good, especially those of the household of faith. I mean, doing good is the Bible talks about good works, having good works before God. I mean, when we stand before the Lord and when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, our good and our bad is going to be judged. And doing good and being a do-gooder in that sense of as a Christian, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with being a do-gooder, helping brothers and sisters, even helping the lost, even when it cost you something. I mean, you can do good by telling people about Jesus Christ. I tell people, invite lost people to church and offer to buy them a meal. Offer to take them out to eat. Be friendly to them. Amen. If you want to do good, you want to see people saved, do good. Be friendly to them. You can do good and see people saved. You can do good. You can do good by being faithful to what God's called us as Christians to do. Be a witness to the world, man. You know what he said? Take your Bible and look at Matthew chapter 28. Look, here's doing good. And you know what made me think about this? When you walk by, I try to give out a tract, and I see, and people look at it, and they'll say, you know what they'll say? First thing they'll say, well, if they don't want it, they say, I'm good. I'm good. And I say, if you're not saved, you're not good. If you're not living for God, you're not good. I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm good. You're not a real do-gooder. You're not a real one. But Matthew 28, Jesus tells his disciples to do good and go ye in all the world. Look at this, Matthew 28, and look at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into the mountains where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. He says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You want to do good? Be a witness. Be a witness. Back up what you say as a Christian. Back up what you the way you live. Back it up. Do good. Do good. You say, I'm not a do-gooder. Well, I want to be one. I want to be a do-gooder when it comes to this, what the Bible says, do good to all men, especially unto them of the household of faith. And he says, for we have opportunity. Everybody has opportunity. If you'll pray, God, give me opportunity to witness my friend or witness my neighbor. I went across the street the other day and I talked to a young man. I don't know if he's the same young man that hit Rachel. And one of the boys across the street ran a stop sign, hit Rachel one morning as she was taking the kids to school. Or taking Logan down to the place, and this young man, he ran a stop sign because he was late for school and hit her broadside and put her in the ditch, and he went up the ditch and totaled the car and totaled his car. And Ben was upset. It's understandable. Ben was upset. He said, he could have killed my wife. This guy could have killed my wife. And Ben said, you talk to them? I said, yeah, Ben, I try to win them to the Lord. They know what they did. They know what they did. And I said, I'm trying to win them, Lord. Anyway, I told the boy the other day, I said, hey, you want to take these trucks I got over here and you want to do whatever, sell parts off of it, whatever. And I said, you want to give me something, that's fine. And he goes, what? I said, really? His name is Jared. I said, Jared? Because if you want to do that, that's fine. I said, I told Linda, she said, that'd be fine. I said, we want to win them the Lord. They're Catholic. Guy's already separated from his wife and divorced her, I guess, and all kinds of mess happening. But you want to do good. You want to have a good testimony, a good reputation of doing good and helping people. And I've had Brother Maurice, there was a missionary that at one point, he called me up, and the guy was a pastor, and he called me up, and Maurice is going through some problems, and he told me, he said, you need to call Maurice and tell him get off the field right now. You need to tell him. I said, look, man, I said, I'm not telling Maurice to come off the field. I said, and matter of fact, it's none of your business. He said, well, I support him. I said, well, you can stop your support, but it's none of your business. And he goes, well, and he went out and did as much as he could to try to get Maurice off the field. And he did everything he could. And Maurice came home, and I told Maurice, this guy is going to be a missionary now. He's coming by. And Maurice is at my house, and he looked at me and said, preacher, you letting him come by? He said, that man tried to destroy me. I said, Maurice, but we're going to be Christians, and we're going to try to help him. And you know what Maurice did? He didn't get mad and walk off. He stood there in front of me, and he said, I have a lot to learn, preacher. Pray for me. That was good. Amen. We got a lot to learn. Amen. Do good unto all men, especially them of the household of faith. I'm not out to destroy any brother or sister in Christ. Amen. I do not want to. You know, the Bible says, cursed be he that bringeth not his sword. How's it go? It's like Jeremiah. Let me look it up. It talks about, cursed be he that bringeth back his sword from blood. And, and a lot of people like to quote that verse about, you know, taking their sword, the word of God, or cutting people up with it. And there's a time for you pull your sword out. The sword is the word of God. There's a time to deal with cults and other things that people are trying to destroy people's faith in the word of God. There's a time for that. But when it comes to the household of faith, brothers and sisters in Christ, you got to pray, God bless them, help them, and strengthen them, and you want to see them do good. I want to see every brother and sister in Christ do good. Amen. And I want to see them succeed as Christians. I was thinking this in Jeremiah. I can't remember. 40-something, I think. It's 40, maybe 45. Anybody? No, that's not it. But anyway, it talks about your sword. If anybody finds it, just raise your hand. But it talks about bringing forth blood with a sword. And the word of God cuts both ways. This Bible is a two-edged sword. It'll cut you as you read it, as you study it, and it'll cut you. And the Lord will show you things, what you ought to be doing. When I was first saved, if I thought somebody was against me, or I thought somebody, I'll give you an example. There was a lady that Linda and I really loved, and her name was Mrs. Long. And Mrs. Long was a good woman. She took us in like her own children. And we just got saved. We was 18 years old. Linda and I got married at 19. And this lady, we thought she could do no wrong. We thought this woman walked on water. And I couldn't understand why her kids went bad. And then one day I was driving a truck, a trash truck, and I was sitting at a red light, and I was telling this other guy about this lady. Her name is Mrs. Long. I said, she's the greatest Christian I ever met. She's one of the greatest, man, I'm telling you what. And he was just sitting there listening, and my headlights was on in the truck. It was a Ford 9000, and the headlights was on, and it was a winter time around 5 o'clock, 5:30. It was getting dark, and she crossed over in front of my headlights. And I said, isn't that a coincidence, man? We're just talking about this woman. Man, she's the greatest. You got to meet her. And I'm telling this guy named Ronnie Damron. And Ronnie worked with me. And I'm telling him how great a Christian. Ronnie was messed up in this charismatic movement and stuff, and he believed that they could lose their salvation. Then once you lost it, you could never get it back and all kinds of crazy stuff like that. And So I'm telling Ronnie about this woman, how great she was, and we followed her into the Red Lobster. And I pulled in the parking lot of Red Lobster, and there she was getting out of her car. As I turned in the corner, and she's getting out of the car, and I see this guy from this side of the parking lot go running and meet right in the middle of the parking lot, and they start hugging and kissing. And the guy was younger than her. And I'm looking at it, going, and this guy, Ronnie Damron, says to me, "Is that her husband?" I knew it wasn't. I said, "Maybe it's her son." He said, "Kissing like that?" I mean, they were mouthing it. Man, I just got to say, and here I had all this trust and hope and this woman. My wife and I both. Samson was just getting ready to be born, or he was born. Was he born then? Around that time. And man, I had my trust in her, and I thought, man, this is the greatest Christian I ever met. And here I'm telling a friend about her. And you know, when you start bragging on somebody, oh man, look out. Don't brag on people. And when I started bragging on her, and she's there in the parking lot kissing this guy, and as soon as I saw him, he said, "Is that her son?" I went, "I don't know." And then I got mad, and I threw it in another gear, and I put it to the floor. I'm going to run over him. Really? I laid on the air horn. Man, they jumped out of the way. He goes, "What are you doing?" I wouldn't even talk to him then. I said, "Go and talk to me, man." And I tell you, I was mad. So she came up to church, and she was very bubbly. And she came up to us, the church had about 2,500 by this time. She came up to me and said, "Hey, Brother Allen, and hey, Sister Linda." I didn't have a lot of grace. I just said to her, "Get away from me." And I called her a few names. I said, "Before I spit on you." And she said, "What's the matter with you?" And I said, "I've seen you with your boyfriend." Boy, that hurt. That hurt me bad. And she started crying right there in front of us and asked us to forgive her. I didn't want to forgive her. I didn't forgive her for a long time. I never knew what ever happened to her. Never knew. Never talked to her again. She might not even be alive now. But I thought back about that. Do good on all men. I realize when somebody's in sin and stuff like that, that's something different. But if you, it says, especially of those of the household of faith, you have opportunity to help somebody, even if they did you wrong. Depends on what kind of wrong it is. Paul said, especially those of the household of faith. And say, what about this do-gooder thing? That's what I want to be. That's what we ought to be as Christians. I'm not saying overlook sin. I'm not saying that we should, you know, let sin ride. But the Bible says love covers the multitude of sin. As the Lord's love, he covers it. Sometimes it's harder for us to do it. And says, we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. And I wouldn't want to let you down, and I hope you wouldn't want to let others down or this church down. Doing good is living right. Amen. Doing what's right. If you want to do good, live right. Do what's right. Be a testimony to your children's children. Do good. Do good. It says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good. Why? Because you reap what you sow. You'll reap it. You know, the Bible says, can a man take fire in his bosom and not be burnt? Can you take fire in your bosom and not be burnt? No. You're going to get burnt. And I think about people, that's, you know, people use that for smoking, people smoking, but it's talking about a whorish woman. Can your man take fire in his bosom and not be burnt? It'll burn you up, destroy you. Do good. Do what's right. The temptations are there. They're everywhere. Temptations out there. It's on the phone. is on the TV, everywhere you look. Do good. Do what's right. Ask God to help you, and the Lord will. Because he says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Pastoring 33 years and here in this church, and my wife and I and my family and the church, we've reaped a lot of good things, and we've seen some bad things we've gone through. But it says, don't be weary and well done. And we're gonna keep on doing good. Why? So we can reap good things. Do good on the household of faith, especially those of the house. If you have an opportunity. You know how some people say, I ain't helping that dude. I've had people come to me and say, why don't you have grace on so-and-so? I said, I do. If y'all know me, I try to help people, even if they are against me, and they'll call me up and they say, I need help, I'd be there. And I'd be there to help them if they're trying to do right. Amen. They want to do right. If they're just going out to get more drugs or somebody else, I ain't going to do that. I ain't going to help them. But if they're trying to do right, I'll be there, even though if they don't like me. I know there's a lot of people, actually preachers that I've known that, you know, they were mad at me, and I didn't bother me one bit. I still try to help them, still try to encourage them. It says, do good unto all men. It doesn't say if they love you or they like you or if they, you know, if they accept you. It says, do good unto all men, especially unto them or of the household of faith. And then he says in verse 11, see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. And Paul's talking about the circumcision, and so where they were, you know, more concerned about the outward and then the inward. But God forbid, verse 14, that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. And I've got this somewhere. It says there are four aspects to the cross. The believer is crucified with Christ. Christ himself was crucified in the past. The world is crucified to the believer, for it's dead and lies under the wrath of God. And then the fourth one is the believer is crucified to the world, for he has been ruined, or he has been redeemed in a relationship. So when Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So he said, saving the cross of Christ, I only glory in that. And look at verse 15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them. And if you read the whole chapter and the whole book, he says, as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy upon the Israel of God. From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Paul gave some good advice. He gave some good scriptural advice, and that's what we ought to be following. And it says, do good, be a do-gooder. There's nothing wrong with that. I know when we talk about the do-gooders out there trying to do this, trying to get to heaven, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. But as a Christian, we ought to be do-gooders, trying to see people saved, trying to see people live for God, trying to encourage the brethren, calling people up, you know, praying with them, and just do good. Just do the right thing. Amen. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you again tonight, God, for the word of God. Help us, Lord God, to do what the Bible says, and the peace of God that passes all understanding be upon our lives and our families. And I pray, God, direct us in this whole thing with this coronavirus and churches all across this land. And God, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, and help America. And God, that you would protect us. And Lord, that let this thing be peaked and be on the downward trend. And Lord God, that we can get back to maybe, it's up to you, Lord. I know that. It's up to you whether the thing's going to peak at whatever time. But Lord, if it takes more to get people's attention, the fear of dying, I pray, God, that let it go on. Let it go until people come to their senses and realize they need Jesus Christ, their Savior. And, Lord, I know America deserves anything that we get, Lord, because we've turned our back on you. And I pray, God, Lord, help us as Christians to be do-gooders for your glory and honor to all men, especially those of the household of faith. Help us to love you and help us, Father, to encourage the brethren, strengthen them. And I thank you, God, for our church and our church family. I pray bless each one this week. And I pray, God, help us get a blessing, see somebody witness to or tracks passed out and talk to somebody about you. And, Lord, be a blessing to see somebody get saved this week. Well, Lord, in the midst of all this, Lord, you've been saving people, Lord. And I pray, God, to help us see somebody saved in the midst of all this craziness going on in this world. But, God, have mercy on us now and watch over our families. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 All right. Did we do the offering already?